Thanks for joining me. It's great to be here with you today. Let's pray the chaplet, our first chaplet together in the new year. Right, it's going to be a delight to pray with you. The number here, if you want to get in, maybe you're new to the broadcast, you know, Relevant continues to expand. We continue to come into new homes and I think through God's grace, come into the lives of a lot of new people. So the number for the chaplet, if you have a really important intention, if you have a small one, I shouldn't say really important. Every intention is important. People have called in for their sick animals, right, for their missing keys. No intention is too small. I mean, God wants to hear our prayers. So 888-914-9149, feel free to call in. You know, I prayed the chaplet last night. True story. I was watching the Buffalo Bills play the Cincinnati Bengals. And in the first quarter, all of a sudden, you know, we see this terrible accident with Damar Hamlin. And I watch him make the tackle, and he gets up after making the tackle. And next thing you know, he takes a step back, staggers, collapses right to the ground, and was out, right? And I thought, oh, it's just a hit. You know, he must have a stinger or something must happen to him. He's going to be fine. And he doesn't get up. You know, the medical team races to the field. They start working on him. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, who were anchoring the broadcast that night, they cut away. They come back. And then they come back with nothing really to say, and they cut away again, and it went on. Next thing you know, text alerts are being sent out. The ratings for that show last night, I'm really curious to see how high they were. They must have been through the roof, because I think America watched what unfolded last night. And I was taken into it. My wife was sitting next to me. We were watching it as well. And I said, you know, when we realized they were giving this guy CPR, that he could not breathe on his own, I thought, man, maybe something snapped in his neck. Maybe there's something going on. Found out later it was probably a shot to the body that stopped his heart. But I prayed the chaplet of divine mercy for him last night. And I want to invite you to do the same thing. When you see an accident on the side of the road, when you hear about a bombing or a shooting, when you hear about a tragedy or an accident or a suicide, pray the chaplet of divine mercy. And I just thought of the mother, what she was going through. And I just thought, you know, God may call this man home. And our prayers may make a difference, as St. Faustina tells us, you know, in his eternal salvation. So I prayed the chaplet for him. A little bit later, Rich Gannon, former NFL quarterback, will be stopping by. We'll talk a little bit more about the Damar Hamlin situation. But let's pray for him. I've been in the studio here now about an hour plus, so I haven't seen any updates, but last update I received was that he was still in critical condition, and we're not getting any news, I believe, because there is no good news to be given, and that's not a good thing. Is he on life support? Are they keeping him breathing and keeping his heart going? I don't know. I'm not there, but I think we would see, hey, he's in stable condition now, and things are looking better. Or we haven't seen any of that. So you and I have an opportunity right now to pray. This is a powerful prayer. I'm convinced of it. You know, it's one of my favorite prayers. I pray this every day. And I pray the rosary every day, and I try to attend Mass every day. That's kind of the staples of my prayer life, you know, and I spend time with the Lord. But Mass is the top of the tier, followed by the rosary and the chaplet. Those are weapons in my left and my right hand. And Maggie prays with me every day here on the chaplet. And I don't know whether this has been announced or not. It probably has, I would think, Maggie, maybe last Friday or so. Margaret, who's prayed the rosary with Father Rocky every evening, 7 Central, is no longer going to be you know, praying the rosary. She's taken another position. And I've known her for years. She's been with Relevant for, you know, almost for over 20 years. I've known her for about 18 years. Wonderful, wonderful person. But Maggie is now going to be co-hosting the rosary with Father Rocky. I still have the privilege of having her behind the mic here and working on the show, but you'll get to pray with her twice a day on the rosary and on the chaplet. Maggie, I just want to say publicly congratulations to you. I know you and I have talked about it. What a great privilege. And what a beautiful thing to be able to do as part of your job, to pray.
Thanks, Drew. It's honestly, both prayers are the highlights of my day. Anytime I get to pray the chaplet with you, and we always talk about it once we go to break. We're always like, wow, that was so great. Or, you know, remember that call or these intentions that come up. It just changes your day. And the rosary, you know, that so many times I would fill in for Margaret if she was out of the office. And I'd be staying late, but I kind of didn't mind because it's the most beautiful prayer you could ever pray, you know, and these kids are calling in and you kind of get a pulse on what's going on across the country. People will call in with these beautiful intentions. So,
well, you're great. First of all, everybody loves when you pray with me here or when I'm gone and you take the chaplet. So I'm sure people are going to love hearing you with Father Rocky every evening. Next week, Patrick Madrid is going to actually be hosting the chaplet. I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday. Father asked me to do Thursday and Friday.
The chaplet or the rosary?
The rosary. Let me change it. Wait a minute. Hit the brakes. No, Patrick's going to be doing the rosary next Tuesday and Wednesday because Father thinks he'll be away from the mic. And I'm going to take Friday and Thursday and Friday. So you'll get to hang out with us
awesome.
Those nights too. So it'll be
great.
Fun. We hope you'll join us. And I hope you join me every day. Please tell others about both the chaplet and the rosary. A couple quick intentions and then we'll take your calls, okay? Barbara Walters, she died as well. She died at the age of 93. Cultural fixture, TV icon, a real pioneer for years. You might have heard that. You may not have. You know, I was watching these year in reviews that are on, you know, television at the end of the year. It's amazing how many people, how many actors and celebrities and politicians and people who have impacted the culture have been called home. You know, we are, we're given a few moments of life. And we don't know when our last moment will be. This guy, the football player for the Bills, Damar Hamlin. I saw an audio clip of him saying, in an audio clip, he was doing an interview with somebody. He says, you know, we don't know how much time we have to play the game. This could be the last time we ever get a chance to play it. It was almost prophetic. Now, here he is. He may never play that game again, let alone leave the hospital. So we'll pray for him. Barbara Walters lived a good life. God called her home in 93, Pope Benedict at 95. What's your day or your hour? I don't know. But let's pray for those who God will be calling home. And we'll pray right now. I got a lot of intentions that came in right now, but I'll try to squeeze some of them in a little bit later in the chapel. But let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. Maria is joining us from Orland Park, Illinois. Hi, Maria.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year.
Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Christmas also. I am calling, all right, I hope I can say this without crying,
okay.
For a 42-year-old man. I've known him since he was 5, my son's best friend since then. Has 6 children, very young children, and he is dying with lung cancer. And they're giving him until fall. They can't do any more treatment past summer. So I'm praying that he can watch his children grow.
Oh my gosh, so sad. Well, Maria, I'm grateful for your call. Let's put him in the hands of our Lord and let's not limit God. I know these things, doctors say one thing and the situation seems impossible, but you know, miracles happen every day. I don't know what God's will is here, but it almost seems unfair, doesn't it, with his beautiful little children?
They
deserve a father, and I'm sure his wife does, too.
Mm-hmm. He's been in the Army since he was 18.
Oh, wow.
He made it his life career.
Wow. Well, let's pray for him. We'll put him in the hands of the Lord right now. And let's pray for all those who are struggling with and battling and maybe even dying from at this moment. Cancer. Right before I walked into the studio today, I was checking some emails, and one of the emails that came into the show was this: could you include me in the chaplet today? I have surgery tomorrow to remove my pancreas. I have pancreatic cancer, and I have been struggling with this now for 6 years. I'm asking for a miracle. So we will certainly pray for that. And for all cancer right now, Lord, those who have surgery, those who have been given very dire prognoses. I just ask that for your healing touch. Let's start this year with many miracles. That's what I'm asking, Lord. You embrace the sick and heal them, restore them. Those battling COVID, those battling cancer, those battling life debilitating, deleterious issues right now. My sister-in-law called me and has asked for prayer for a man that she knows who's on a ventilator right now. So, Lord, I just give to you those who are infirm, whose situations seem impossible. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Michael, praying in Beaverton, Oregon. Hey, Michael, good afternoon.
Drew, God bless you for what you do.
Thank you, Michael.
My wife of 53 years is battling cancer for the second time. It's non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. She battled it from 2003 to 2008. She's been cancer-free until now, and I need your prayer intention for her. She's my rock.
Oh, gosh.
I'm a Vietnam vet, and she hung in there with me.
Oh.
And I love her so much.
Oh, Michael, I am so sorry. What's her name? We'll write her down, and everyone who's listening right now, Deborah. Your prayer family here is going to pray for her. What's her name?
Okay, Deborah.
Deborah, all right. Well, Deborah's going to be in my prayers, and my wife, Kathy. I know Maggie's saying she's going to be praying for her. And I know so many people right now who are listening, from South Africa to California. They're going to be lifting her up, Michael. So let's pray for you right now. And look, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for, first of all, the gift of life, for the gift of Deborah in Michael's life. And I just ask you, extend her life. Grant her more time with a man who so deeply loves her. I just ask, I vanquish cancer today, Lord. I ask for the vanquishing of it, for those cells may shrink and disappear. We just pray that doctors can be astounded. I always love those testimonies that come in when the tumors disappear or they shrink and where the cancer is no longer seen. So, Lord, I ask today as we start this new year, in the name of Jesus, for many healings, in the name of Jesus, for many cures, in the name of Jesus, for consolation and comfort. You know, 1 Peter 5 tells us to cast our worries upon him because he cares for you, right? That's what I want you to do, Peter. Take all those worries you have, all that concern about the loss of your wife, and put it in that merciful heart of our Lord. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Carlos, who's calling next, and Michael, we're going to be praying for you. A lot of people are going to be praying for Deborah, okay? You hang in there. I'm going to pray for the Turpak family, big devotees to Divine Mercy. And I actually attended the funeral of...
Therese?
Of Therese this past weekend, and my heart goes out to Tom and all the family. I want to pray for all those who mourn, who've lost loved ones over the holidays. A very holy funeral. I mean, I even said to my wife when I came back, it was such a beautiful ceremony. Christmas carols were actually sang at the funeral. It was a joyous yet somber event at the same time. If you can have both. A couple people have written to me, Maggie. One person said, "Could you pray for our power grids that they may not be sabotaged or tampered with?" There's a message going around that there's a plan to destroy power grids in this country, and that would be critical to people. So just ask for protection. So I want to pray for our country, that God will protect it from degeneration, from disaster, from war, from disease, especially that our power grids and any nefarious or evil intent against the safety of this country and its citizens will be thwarted. And Maggie, anything you want to pray for? And what's coming in on Twitter?
Well, we've gotten a lot of tweets from folks saying, "Welcome back, Drew. Hey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas."
I think they're glad that you're back live.
It's good to be back.
So we've got a couple messages here. Kathleen from Minnesota asks for prayers for her husband, who has the beginnings of dementia.
Oh, wow.
It's getting really worse, and she prays that it doesn't progress quickly or even at all. She wants to be able to keep him at home with her. Annalisa is asking for prayers today. She says that her Aunt Rosie suffered a severe aneurysm on the 25th, on Christmas, and they need her to show some movement so that they can do an MRI on her. She says it's been a week, but her heart is strong and the organs are functioning. We need a miracle. Kay Torrio wrote to us and said, "I continue to pray for this new year with persistence that my family have conversion of heart and would grow in faith. For my son Tony, that God will lead him in the right direction concerning his career, and for a change of heart for all humanity and for peace." Someone with the handle of Bucks Company wrote to us and said, "Happy New Year. Please pray for my brother Eric, end-stage renal cancer, bedridden since January of last year, 2022. We need a miracle. Nothing is impossible for God. Thank you." Patricia is offering the chaplet for her son's mental, emotional, and spiritual healing. And lastly, I want to lift up a private intention for my family, something that the Blessed Mother knows needs some special grace.
Amen to that, Maggie. I'll be more than glad to pray for that. Let's pray for all of our family members, too, especially that family member most in need of God's mercy. Another person came in with an anonymous request here saying, "My son needs God's healing of both his mind and his heart. He is processing a broken heart right now." So that is a tough one, too. I mean, we talk about the physical wounds that we have, but boy, there's nothing like a broken heart. That is tough. So, Lord, we just ask you to, in your mercy, heal, comfort, restore, anoint. Carlos, listening in Chicago, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
No, thank you, Drew, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
First of all, I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
And today I have so many intentions to pray for, but I want to pray. I want to use my prayer today as a prayer of thanksgiving for all the blessings that we have received. Last year was a rough year for our family, but we made it through, and I can see all the blessings, and I just want to thank God for that. Just my prayers of Thanksgiving.
That's beautiful. Well, Carlos, I'll tell you what. First of all, I know God loves when we thank him. I know the Lord knows your heart, too. So even though you didn't mention anything, I know that simple prayer of saying thank you to the Lord resounds in a powerful way, and he knows every one of those prayers. Lord, I ask you to read the heart of Carlos and all those intentions unsaid, and I ask for mercy on him. But we give you thanks, Lord, for the crosses of our life, for the opportunity to grow and to trust. Thank you for the many blessings of our life. When we look back, we see you're with us every moment of our life. We thank you for those times you've been with us, for your providence, and for your mercy. And I give you all who are united with me now, wherever they are, hear their prayers, read their hearts. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Paul in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing, Drew? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Paul.
And my intention, okay, thank you. Doctors, can restore my eyesight, please. Thank you.
Paul, I love you. And you know why I say that? Because you've been praying for this intention forever, for a long time. I know this man is called over the years, and he's asking God to restore his eyesight. He has never failed to ask God and still believes. And I just read a powerful story of a young woman named Daphne Gutierrez who was miraculous. Her vision was restored. Paul, I'm going to put her on the air with me in the days ahead. Through the intercession of St. Charbel. So let's call upon this great Maronite saint, and we'll pray for restoration of your sight. Lord, I ask you honor this man's persistence and his faith. He's walking on water. He's trusting in you. We submit ourselves to your holy will, whatever it may be. But I just ask that you really anoint this man and bless him with vision. Anyone who's suffering problems of the eye today, we give you them. Anyone who's lost their vision, we ask you to fortify them, Lord, illuminate their paths. And for those of us that may be spiritually blind, Lord, to your will in our life, to what you're calling us to, we pray that you open our eyes. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Teaneck, New Jersey. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My prayer is of Thanksgiving. I have a couple of friends, and all I have is this little dog, and she was not doing well at all. She had to have a gallbladder removed. She's 11 years old. Mm. And I knew it didn't look good, so I said the Chaplet of Mercy. And thank God she came through with flying colors. She's well. I saw her recently. I was so happy. Wow. And my vision has improved. I hope and pray all you good people keep praying for me. It's getting better.
Oh, good. Well,
and I'll pray to St. Charbel, too.
Yeah, do that. He's a powerful saint. I'll have to share his story one day. Thank you for sharing the fact that your eyes are making progress. Lord, we continue to pray for Mary. I know sometimes healing is slow. Sometimes it's instantaneous. We just submit ourselves to your holy will and all these things. And I thank you, Lord. I love these prayers of Thanksgiving as well, large and small. Let's go to the Philippines. Grace is calling us from that beautiful island. Hi, Grace. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
I am asking for prayers for my friend Gary. We already bought a ticket for him to come here to meet my family also, but my family is here right now. Mm-hmm. I am initially from Fargo, but his passport wasn't released yet.
Yeah.
And he's there at the Miami to get his passport.
Okay.
But they say that there's still some problems with it, so he still have to go back at 11 tomorrow, but his flight will be at 4 p.m., almost 5 o'clock, I think, tomorrow in the afternoon. So I hope we won't be able to cancel it because we won't be able to refund the ticket.
Let's pray. Let's pray right now for that response. I've had a few situations like this in the past with the chaplet where IDs were missing or passports were lost or documents were needed, and they've come through. But, Lord, I give you grace. We thank you for her and all those who are listening to us abroad. I want to pray in particular for this situation. Those right now are having problems with their legal documents, and in particular with this passport situation. I just give you this intention in particular, but Lord, I ask you to send angels to unblock those blocks and to carry those documents, those papers to those who most need it. Lord, we give you our hearts with every intention that we have, large and small. We pray in thanksgiving. We trust in your mercy as we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
Saint Charbel Maluf.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Hey, Lucy from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I see you online here. Prayers for a friend whose marriage is breaking up. Later this week, you know, Friday's National Divorce Day. I don't know if you know that. Terrible day, right? Why are we honoring that? The day before, I think Thursday, I think the day before, I'm going to take a look and how to help your broken marriage heal. We can take a look at divorce. We can take a look at healing marriages. There's even talk of a new encyclical on contraception. And ever since the advent of contraception, we saw the rates of divorce skyrocket. We'll look at all that. I mean, I've got a great week ahead. There's a lot coming up. So stay with me, okay? Short pause, and I'll be back on the other side.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Now remember, he said, when I introduced myself as Bishop Tobin from the Diocese of Providence, Pope Benedict said, Providence, what a beautiful name for a diocese. I think his real legacy will be his teaching and preaching about the truth of Christ and the truth of the Church. Pope Francis had a great deal of affection for Pope Benedict as well, and often visited him, talked to him, prayed with him. So the legacy really continued, even though they're very different.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Bishop Tobin reflecting on the extraordinary life of Pope Emeritus Benedict. And Bishop Thomas Tobin hails, of course, from Providence, Rhode Island. There were some of his thoughts. I don't know what your thoughts on the passing of the Holy Father has been. I was sharing a little bit. I was profoundly moved by his last words. The last words he uttered were simple. And they were these. He simply said, Jesus, I love you. And what a beautiful way to end your life. What a beautiful use of the gift of breath that God has given you. You know, one of my favorite things throughout his, you know, he was the head of the CDF for John Paul II, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. And yeah, you know, he's a brilliant man. People are talking already about making him a doctor of the church. But one of the things that struck me more than anything else was something he once said. And it has always made me think. he, you know, we live in a time, you and I, we live in such a bizarre time, to be honest with you, with all this, you know, diversity and equity and inclusion and gender dysphoria and all this wackiness where you think it's okay to kill a child in the womb or two people the same sex to marry. And I mean, it's just weird, right? I was on some site yesterday with my wife, or some community site or something. I was tapping into this thing and they wanted our pronouns. Are you he, him, she, her, or they, them? And I'm like, really? What's the source of all this? It's a mass confusion, and it's profound relativism. Your truth is your truth. I'm a 6'3 dude, right? But I can say I'm a 5'4 petite woman if I want to, right? Can you tell me I'm not? We are living in what Pope Benedict XVI called the dictatorship of relativism. When he said that, and he said this years ago, it resonated. But I think more than ever, this is the universe in which we live. We see this new current in which everything is relative. Nothing is definitive. Because everything, the ultimate measure is always self. What's that harken to, right? It sounds so dark, doesn't it? Everything centers around personal whims, around self-gratification. It's like this evil one's whispering in your ear. You don't need God. It's all about you. You know, eat the apple. He doesn't want you to have that knowledge. And we have it backwards today. We have it backwards. Rather than freedom to choose good from evil, today freedom is seen as freedom to do what is evil. And it's that simple. Benedict saw it. He understood this. He called it out for what it is. And what's the fruit of it? As a result, we've got God stripped from every governmental and educational institution, right? He's been banned from the public square. We see same-sex unions and all sorts of other immoral behavior being accepted now as natural and normal. It's normal. You know, I know you're a person who governs your life by a set of moral codes, by a set of Christian values. And if you, like me, believe we've got a duty and a moral obligation to stand up, let our voice be heard, even when it's unpopular, I know it's hard to do. But we do. We've got to pierce this dictatorship of relativism, this cacophony, this din that we are being surrounded by right now with a voice of truth. Because it's not intolerant to tell the truth. It is not entirely, intolerant to espouse the fundamentals of natural law or the truth of God's law. You don't always have to be tolerant when it comes to telling the truth. That's one of the great deceptions of our day. I mean, just go back, look at history, look at what silence and tolerance has allowed to happen. Some very ugly things have transpired. I've invited today Monsignor James Shea to stop by to reflect with me for just a few moments on not only this insight, but the profound insights of Pope Benedict Emeritus. And Father Shea is the president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. We're fortunate to have him today. He's at a SEEK conference. Actually just finished his talk, and I know that it was one of the highlights of those in attendance there. You can check out Father, of course, at cometomary.com or umary.edu. Monsignor Shea, always good to have you with me. Welcome back.
Hey, Drew. It's great to be with you, too. Of course, SEEK is happening here in St. Louis, Missouri, and we have more than 17,000 young people who are here in St. Louis praising God and learning more about their faith. It's tremendous, and I want you and all of our listeners to know that there's tremendous hope on the horizon, and all of us are joining the Universal Church in mourning the passing of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, and I, of course, as you know, had a personal connection with him, and I'm very sad to see him go, but also grateful for his long legacy, his life, and all the truth and wisdom that he brought.
Well, two quick questions for you. One, I want to hear about your personal connection. You know, this is something I can never get right, and this is not even tangential to what we're talking about here. This is left field for you. You're in St. Louis, Missouri versus Missouri. Now, I have a colleague that hails from Missouri. How do you define which side and when you say Missouri versus Missouri?
You know, I don't remember. I was corrected once, and I just hate being corrected. And so then I just have always said it Missouri because somebody corrected it. But it's lost in my memory.
That's
now
so funny.
We started a war, and I'm going to get letters at my office. You're going to get letters at the studio.
That's
all kinds
too
of
funny.
People. I don't know.
I'm always struck by it because somebody once explained it to me, too, and I have no idea. I just default to Missouri. So, yeah, Monsignor, tell me a little bit about your connection to Benedict. And you hail from academia, too, and I'd love your take as we talk a little bit about relativism today, how it's infected higher levels of education, the culture at large. But your connection to him, what is it?
Yeah, so I was a student in Rome from 1998 to 2002 when I was ordained a priest in 2002. And so, of course, those were sort of the twilight years of the long and beautiful papacy of Pope St. John Paul II. And Benedict was JP2's lieutenant. You know, he was reluctantly brought to Rome. He was hoping that he could serve for a while as a bishop, and then he could return to academe. His deep calling, he always felt, was to return to the academy. He loved being a professor. He loved the intellectual life. And so, but John Paul II said, no, I need you here. And so he was the leader of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith for many long years. And so he was in Rome as the head of the CDF during the entire time when I was studying in Rome. And we would see him quite often. You know, he'd walk across St. Peter's Square in the early morning. He would sometimes say masses at the Teutonicum, which is a college for graduate priests of German-speaking countries right there in the Vatican. And we would go to his mass, and then he would give lectures from time to time as well. And so we were able to have quite a bit of contact with him. And then I have to just say this other thing. You know, I was a high school teacher back in my home diocese at the time when he was elected. And by that time, I was already taking pilgrimages over to Rome. And, you know, you've been on pilgrimage to Rome. And one of the things that you have to do is go to a papal audience. And I cannot tell you, I really want our listeners to understand this because I'm witnessing to this as a very strong impression that was made upon me. You know, John Paul II was the great actor. You know, he was so congenial and photogenic, and he knew how to appeal to a crowd and all of those different kinds of things. And so I took, you know, groups of students to see John Paul II, even in his final days, when he was failing with the Parkinson's disease. John Paul II could really incite a lot of enthusiasm. What happened when Benedict XVI became Pope, you know, of course, he was much more shy than John Paul II by temperament. But the audiences were much more full of a kind of peaceful wisdom. And the students loved him. They responded to him like a grandfather. And the contents, you would think that as a great sort of erudite academic, he would be much harder to understand than John Paul II. He was much easier, actually, during those general audiences, because he was speaking. John Paul II was reading into the magisterium. He had an agenda for the renewal of the church that he was intent upon. And so John Paul II's Wednesday audiences were very erudite, and he was reading into the magisterium. He would often do a long, complicated series, whereas Benedict XVI was a pastor and was just preaching right to you. It was extraordinarily powerful and impactful. And I just have to say that that those who say that he didn't do a good job or that he wasn't up to the task, they just don't know what they're talking about. He was really, really effective in that public forum, even if he might not have chosen it for himself.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the complexity, we've heard a lot of testimonies today, too, of how he's able to sum up and synthesize and present in a way that is really clear and simple, some very complex ideas, and it just really speaks to his brilliance. Do you think he'll be a doctor of the church one day?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, I'm not, you should ask somebody who can do something about it. But I do think, you know, I was present when he declared St. Hildegard of Bingen a doctor of the church. And he had a tremendous regard for the great minds that the church has had. You know, of course, he was, I think, an Augustinian scholar originally. And so he knew his way around the tradition. in a most really wonderful way. But his faith also was simple. You know, and that, I think, is a key. In other words, a doctor of the church can't simply be so erudite that you don't understand him. You know, we don't need 100 Duns Scotus in the church. But there is a simplicity as well that Benedict was able to achieve, not in spite of, but because of his great learning, because he knew the tradition so well. So remember, when he came on his pastoral visit, I think in 2005, or maybe it was 2008. In 2008, he came to the United States, and I saw him there. I was actually invited to the Rose Garden, and was in the Rose Garden when he was received there. And then he went to speak at the Catholic University of America, and he said that Catholic institutions of learning have to consecrate them to the diaconia of the truth. The word diaconia, of course, is where we get deacon. It means the service of the truth. And so he was so intent that our educational institutions should not serve themselves and should not serve sort of the prestige of the secular world and chase after glamour and prestige, but our educational institutions, and this is where the University of Mary's gone for sure, we're dedicated to this. Educational institutions in the church should serve the truth, the diaconia of the truth. So it's very beautiful. But I think his life is well summed up, as you said earlier, by the last words that he said, "Jesus, I love you." And I returned here recently to that letter. Drew, do you remember that he wrote just less than a year ago, in February of 2022? He was accused of acting wrongly in those years when he was Archbishop of Munich in the late 70s, early 80s. And he said, you know, he denied, he rebuffed those accusations. But he did say, "I have held great responsibility in the Catholic Church, and it pains my heart that anyone should have been harmed in any way under my watch." But then he said the most beautiful things, and I said this in my talk today here at SEEK. I said, it's so touching. He said, "Soon I will find myself before the final judge of my life. And I have much reason for fear and trembling, but I'm also of good cheer, because I know that the one who's my just judge is also my friend and my brother, and that because he's already suffered for my shortcomings, he's also my advocate, and so I'm eager to go to him." That simplicity of faith, that clarity of mind and heart, in addition to great learning, that is what makes for a doctor of the church. So I don't know if he'll be proclaimed one, but I think he is in the eyes of many of his admirers already.
It was beautifully said. I love that. I often wonder, you know, where does God sit when it comes to the balance of his justice and his mercy? When I stand before him, how will I be evaluated? And some have the belief that, you know, more souls go to hell. I tend to sit on the seat of God's, you know, I try to stay on the side of God's mercy, but maybe we could talk about that. A lot to still get into. My guest today, Monsignor James Shea. If you want to join us, feel free to. We'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. I'm talking today a little bit about the incredible life and legacy of Pope Benedict the 16th, Pope Benedict Emeritus, I should say. A lot to unfold over the course of the rest of the week. And, you know, I had shared a little bit earlier the beauty of his final words. We've talked also about some of the great things he's left, the incredible encyclicals that he's written, some of the phrases he's coined, like the dictatorship of relativism. And I don't know how you feel about him. I mean, John Paul was a pope of my lifetime, you know, and then Benedict came along, two different men. Benedict, of course, you know, was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. Many people gave him this title. He was known as God's Rottweiler, right? Is that a fair, you know, characterization of this man? Was he hard? Was he cold? Was he gentle? Was he loving? He certainly was shy. We know that much. He certainly was brilliant. I'm joined this afternoon by Monsignor James Shea, a man who knew him personally. Monsignor Shea, of course, is the president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. Hope you'll check them out. He was with me about a week ago, too, and we talked a little bit about their nursing program, and I hope you will check this out. Applications are coming for what is just a unique opportunity, and we can talk more about that, too. Monsignor, in fact, I'd love to talk nursing with you, and I want to get to that in just a quick second, but very quickly, and if you could, the title Rottweiler, Benedict, is that a fair description? How do you read it?
Well, no, of course it isn't a fair description. You know, he was the head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And so in his responsibility for the Catholic Church, he did have to deal with all kinds of doctrinal and disciplinary issues. And those are the kinds of things which have to be dealt with wisely, but also firmly. But he was not, in his essence, a vindictive person. He did not relish the exercise of his power. Rather, he exercised it. He was a deeply cultured human being. You know, remember when St. John Henry Newman talks about the definition of a gentleman, which is what a true education is meant to bring about. And a gentleman is someone who doesn't ever knowingly or intentionally inflict pain upon others. And, you know, Benedict XVI, as Joseph Ratzinger, when he was head of the CDF, and as Pope too, was very gentle in his affect and his in the way that he approached things. The reason that he got horrid nicknames like that and he was treated so unfairly is because of the dictatorship of relativism, which he called out. Relativism means that truth doesn't matter. There's my truth, there's your truth, but there's no actual truth. And so the truth of who Benedict XVI was and how he moved through the world really wasn't interesting to many of the journalists who characterized him and caricatured him in that way. Instead, what was interesting was their own political agenda. And so he was very unfairly treated in that way. But as we said before the break, he wasn't afraid of that because he knew that the one he needed to give an account of his life to was not any earthly tribunal, not any newspaper, or even any radio show. His ultimate judge was God, was Christ. Wow. And that's who he's with now. And that's a whole different thing. And so he was a man of faith, a man of great gentleness, humility, and kindness. But it's not kind to let error proliferate, and he wasn't about to do that as the head of the CDF.
Yeah, no doubt. Monsignor, I only have a few moments left, and as we kick off this new year, you and I had a conversation towards the end of the last year, and you shared something with me that I was just, Maggie and I both were pretty stunned by, an opportunity for people who want to start a new career this year that is free. It includes, you know, pilgrimage and so much more. Fill everyone in on your nursing program.
Yeah, it's just that we're launching a tuition-free nursing academy within our program of nursing. So we've got the number one nursing program in America, and now we have a track within it which is completely tuition-free and which includes a pilgrimage to Europe. And people can learn more at umary.edu/nursing academy, all one word, nursing academy, umary.edu/nursing academy. It's tremendous. I don't know of anybody else who's doing anything like this, but it's a tremendous opportunity. And of course, the need for nurses is very great. So thanks for letting me just say something about that. But we are in the point where we're accepting applications for limited spaces. So
here's the deal, and it's the biggest question, I think, in the room and on the table. I mean, how's it free? So somebody listening saying this is not going to cost me anything?
Yeah, so the way that it's free is that we have brokered really astonishing partnerships with local, with some pretty significant local medical centers who see the need for nurses and who usually receive quite a bit of our of the graduates from nursing anyway. And so I think that their hope is that if they help to fund it, then those students would come and work for them for a couple of years.
That's fantastic. I mean, a free education. The pilgrimage is extraordinary, and I hope people will take advantage. I'm sure there are limits to how many applications you can take, and you'll probably get flooded. But what's the deadline, and what's the best web address to get your app in?
Well, again, it's umary.edu/nursingacademy. That's where all of the information is. And we're taking applications this month. I think that they'll be selecting, the nursing program will be selecting those who get a spot in the inaugural cohort of the Nursing Academy, which would begin this August. They'll be accepting applications, I think, through January, and then they'll have interviews in February.
That sounds awesome. Well, Monsignor, thank you. Thanks for all you do. It's great to have you here to start the new year off. I'm sorry for your loss and how much you loved Pope Benedict the 16th. But our prayers, of course, are with you and in the great work that you're doing at the university. Okay, keep it up. I look forward to the next time you stop by.
Hey, God bless you, Drew. It's so fun to be on the radio with you. And pray for all of our students down here at SEEK, 17,000 young people, yeah. Fellowship of Catholic University students, taking the world by storm.
You know, you said something to me. Before I let you go, I'll give you my personal observation. Years ago, I forget how many years ago it was, I had gone to to do my show live from a Focus conference. We were down in Florida somewhere. And, you know, with all that was going on in the world, you know, death of Terry Schiavo, and there's wars, there's, you know, whatever. I remember saying, you know, the world can seem so hopeless. But when I looked at 14,000 young adults on their knees before the Blessed Sacrament, I can tell you my heart leapt because it said to me, there is a great hope looming for the future, and it resides in the hearts of so many of these people and their love of Christ. So I thought your observation was right on. It resonated with mine. Thank you, Monsignor, for being with me.
God bless you, Drew. Thank you.
That's Monsignor James Shea. And I am going to have to take a short pause. When I come back, we can talk more. There's hope out there. Don't let the world seem, you know, to overwhelm you or think that the issues are too dark. You know, Transformers being shot and war and rumors of war and droughts and floods and all the other things that are happening. God's in control. He's in control of everything. And we have to live in the present moment. That's all. Hey, when we come back, you'll hear from Bishop Robert Barron. Also want to talk about Damar Hamlin a little bit today, too. So we got a lot coming up. Stay with me.